This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This became like, well, is beating New Orleans a fireable, is losing in New Orleans a fireable offense? Is it a must win? I'm going, I don't know if any of them are must wins or 2-7. And then you said something that is quite disturbing for a lot of fans, is that it's like, well, you said that we just don't have a lot of talent on the roster. We're not as talented as we think we are. To which I was like, well, I think that the teams that you mentioned had, I mean, going into this season as of August, I mean, you mentioned the Commanders. The Commanders have the fourth oldest roster going into the league, going into the season. So the Commanders are not a quote-unquote young team. I mean, these are by days and months here, for crying out loud. Well, they're 26.97 years old.
Yeah, but they have guys making plays. And like I'm saying, guys that are making plays that our fans would otherwise have no idea who they are.
Well, I look at a guy like Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin is one of the most underrated wide receivers for his career. He's 29 years old.
We've known he's been good for a while.
You're an Ohio State fan world. We follow Ohio State. We know. But I think across the country, he was kind of on a milk carton for a lot of fans because he played with bad quarterbacks. Now he's playing with a quarterback that gives him a chance to make plays. And I still don't. This is where I get to the fear of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Going, do we really need to just completely tear this thing down? Do we need to do that, or is there talent on this football team? Now, I say that I can't find a reason or an excuse for MJ Emerson's struggles this year. I can't do it. I don't know if it's because Denzel hasn't been fully healthy all year, or because the defense has been put in a bad spot. I have no idea, Tone. I wish I could tell you. I got nothing there. The offensive line, I think it would look a little bit better with better quarterback play. But I don't know how much better it would actually be. The running game, no matter who you put at offensive line, has been a mess this year. And sadly, no matter who you put at running back, has been basically a mess this year. So those are problems. Well, is that all quarterback situation? Maybe if I can load 9 in the box, for crying out loud, maybe that's the case. But I still don't know if that's it. I just know they're 2-7, and because they're so bad to start out this year, and they'll probably finish bad, we have a tendency to get mad at all of them and want to replace all of them. I want to make sure that we've made sure there is no gold in them their hills before we go ahead and make those drastic decisions.
Well, I feel like they have to overhaul their running room next year. I feel like they have to figure out their both offensive line almost all the way around. I mean, are they going to stick with Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio and Jack Conklin? No.
I think Joel Bitonio, would you be surprised if this was his last year?
I would not.
Okay.
So they have to overhaul that. So that's we don't talk offensive line. We talk talent. We just assume, hey, we have the best offensive line every year until you don't. And now it looks like they're going to be sent scrambling to try to fix that in the offseason. Wide receivers, you know, Cedric Tillman, he's had three straight games. He continues to impress. He's not a freak athlete or anything like that, so I don't think he's ever going to be a number one, and I certainly don't think Judy's a one, so I think they are missing a number one wide receiver going into next year, and I don't know if they're going to be able to address that. given their salary cap situation, mm-hmm. and are they going to use their first-round draft pick on a wide receiver, or are they going to use it on a tackle, or are they going to use it on a quarterback? The fact that I'm even asking all these questions shows you how many holes that they really do have on the roster. So the Martin Emerson thing is troubling because you felt like you had your corner situation locked up forever.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Martin Emerson is one of the lowest-rated corners in the league this year. And Newsom is somebody I thought they would have moved on from already. I mean, what is he making, $14 million?
Yeah.
And that is the level that Newsom has played at. He seems like just a guy, just a nickel corner.
A nickel corner, yeah.
Which is not a $14 million.
Mm-mm.
That's not what you pay those guys. You pay those guys like $5 million or $4
million. But, I asked.
So that's what I'm saying. Look how long look how many different spots they have to address. So talent-wise.
Well, it should be. Because I think, if they were 7-2, it'd be, why are you having this conversation? No, it needs to be examined. I don't blame you for examining it.
Yeah, but even when they went on their run last year, we knew that Kareem Hunt wasn't going to be here for the long haul.
No.
We knew Joe Flacco wasn't going to be here for the long haul.
But then fans get mad because they go, why does Kareem Hunt play for a football team and he gets 100 yards the other week with Kansas City? Why does that happen? And I wish I can give you a great explanation other than, they have talented players around them. They have to respect the quarterback. It opens up running lanes, and there you go. If I don't have to respect the quarterback, it doesn't open up running lanes. If I have bad offensive line play, it's not going to open up running lanes. If my running backs are not together all that great, Nick Chubb's just coming back from a serious, serious injury, it's not going to be very good for running lanes. It's not going to be very good for our running game altogether. But you bring up Sed Tillman. All right, if Sed Tillman had C.J. Stroud throwing to him, who, by the way, has elevated a team that is more of a middle-of-the-road team. Now that there's tape on them and they're not surprising anybody, they're a little bit more middle-of-the-road than we thought. They played a really good Detroit team last week and gave up a lead and lost over the weekend, I should say. It's Wednesday already. You see quarterbacks elevate these guys. We have not had quarterback play, with the exception of maybe one week, that has elevated the play that we can go, okay, these are these guys at their very best. I mean, you brought up David Njoku. I don't need to get all emotional and despondent with you over it. It's like, well, he's had injuries and he's had bad quarterback play thrown to him. You said Tillman. I would like to say the same thing, especially since he's come on so strong here with a different quarterback thrown to him. So if like Jane Daniels was the QB of the Browns, would we be in this situation? No. But damn it, I can't fault you for examining it. I just don't think that it's a complete teardown and build back up. That's what I still fear. 216-474-0092. Frank in Cleveland, you're first up in the Fan.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, Frank.
Hey, man, I just want to ask y'all, man, do y'all think, since JP said something about Stefanski, man, on the coaches, that he can't handle big-name quarterbacks, man, and it's looking like it, even though Baker and Watson was, out of the pocket of the shotgun. So let him draft a quarterback since he ain't draft one, man. Because we, like Lyman just said, man, we got so many holes and so many questions, man. Just let him draft his quarterback. If we going to keep him, let him draft his quarterback at least 6-4 or better. No more 6-3
or under. What do you think our record's going to be by the end of the year?
I don't know, Ken.
What do you think, Frank? I asked you a simple question. Give me a simple answer. What do you, off the top of your head, babe, what do you think the record's going to be, bud?
At the end of the season?
Yeah.
Man, it's hard to say, man. 2-15.
So if they're 2-15, Frank, if they're 2-15, do you want Kevin Stefanski around to make that pick? You know you're gonna be mad.
I don't
and say
want
no.
him now, Kent. I want him to be gone now.
Well, if you want him fired, why you want him picking the quarterback of the Browns' future?
Because if y'all the ones, I ain't gonna say y'all. It's a few people saying he's not the problem, and I've seen that he's the problem because he done made bonehead calls. When he's under pressure, he made bonehead calls.
Well, you could say.
He's not even making the calls anymore.
Yeah, I like Kevin Stefanski, most Stefanski guy.
Hey, man.
So you can say me.
Give him a chance. If he's going to keep him, give him a chance to pick a no-name quarterback. We don't need him. He just needs like 6'5", that play under center, and their offense is not that hard. Our offense is not that hard. That's why the defense be picking on everything that we got because it's simple. But if all he needs is somebody under center. He's improving that with Brissett, Flacco, man. I guess just get a man a chance, man. Or I don't know, man. I'm just trying to help out, man.
Well, I've said it, and Frank, thank you for the call. I mean, I've said it as sarcasm. He may very well be the only coach in NFL history that's needed a bad quarterback to be successful. I wish I could tell you guys something different. Maybe he really is. Now, I've said it sarcastically, but if you don't like the guy, you're not going to put him in the pick.
Funny is the way Russ Wilson is playing right now in Pittsburgh, I feel like that guy would work out perfectly in the Stefanski.
Do you believe Kevin could manage him perfectly fine?
I'm talking about play action. Like, he could do that. He could do that. And Cedric Tillman, with his body, seems like he's running good routes. Judy does run good routes. I'll reiterate. So, I don't think he's the number one.
Kind of the
but
way
I think Russ can put it on those guys.
So in a way, you're kind of agreeing with me now. All of a sudden, you just brought up if they had better quarterback play, they'd be better players.
I think yes. I think it's been proven in the NFL that other guys do. When you have a dynamic quarterback or just an above average quarterback, which we have not really had above average quarterback play this year at all.
No,
that yes, other guys do get elevated. But I still don't think that fixes our running room. Like, our running room is not good.
No.
It's just not good. And they've got to figure out what they're going to do with that next year. Their offensive line is just not good. Yeah, you can mask the offensive line not being good by getting rid of the ball fast.
But this was my issue going into the season, is when, before the season started, it was like, I said, Deshaun Watson has to do two things at once. Yeah, everybody wants him to compete, but they also, you need to make sure that he's a guy that can keep their head above water. Because when you have a good quarterback, now I can go place by place and make adjustments as years go on. Okay, my offensive line's getting a little bit older, but I have, Mahomes isn't the best. Let me say C.J. Stroud is that guy, right? Because Mahomes is just too perfect. C.J. Stroud, I know I have my quarterback. All right, my offensive line starting to get older in a couple of other places. I know I can't pay, and we've said this a million times, we can't pay two guards. We can't pay two guards. All right, well, I can let this guard go. I can install this quarterback, or I can install this guard in, and then we might be okay in the future. We might have problems. We might have a quarterback that just has to deal with it here for a few games until we get our situation figured out, kind of like what the Eagles did after they lost Jason Kelce due to retirement. We could do that. Or the running back room, because if I have a quarterback, I have to respect the quarterback. That means I have a little bit of time to figure out my running back room. A la kind of the way that they still think that they have a chance down in Cincinnati, and we'll find out more with Mo Egger at 8 o'clock during Around the AFC North. They're working out different running backs right now, and they still feel that they have a chance to make the playoffs because most of the AFC sucks, and because they still have a quarterback. They still have that. So if you still have that play, it doesn't hide everything. You have to make adjustments. But when you don't have that play, I think it leads us to make drastic decisions that lead us to points where now we're watching the playoffs where our former guys are playing and contributing with teams that have at least upper level or great level quarterback play, and they're competing for Super Bowls like we've seen over the last 20 years, where all of a sudden these guys, they just tend to play with these teams and they become better players when they play for these other teams.
Who would you really be worried that much would do that to us? Would go somewhere else and be really good?
With better quarterbacks, almost everybody you mentioned. With the exception of, I mean, defensively I can't say, but offensively it's like, okay, Jerry Jeudy, we have him. You said him yourself. He'd be better with a better quarterback. They'd all be better with better quarterbacks. David Njoku? I mean, if he could stay healthy, yeah.
Well, do you think Jeudy's capable of catching like 1,500 yards for a team and double-digit touchdowns?
I think he's capable of 1,000. And depending on how their offense runs,
I think
he's capable of
double-digit.
Falls
down every time he catches the football.
Well,
I'm not seeing a dynamic playmaker. He runs good routes.
That is a strong thing to say right before break.
I've watched him.
Man who does know what he's looking at, Terry Pluta, who will be speaking at the Willoughby Hills Library Tuesday, December 3rd, 6:30 p.m. Folks, it's a free event. Get there. Be there. Be square. Tuesday, December 3rd. Terry Pluta joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Terry, good morning to you. First things up, what is the difference between Kenny Atkinson and J.B. Bickerstaff?
You know, he's put a lot more emphasis on offense and that. By the way, to be fair to JB, at this point, he didn't have already Jared Allen and missed like six games. And, you know, they were having trouble getting their guys together. But there is some similarity between when JB was like Jackson was with Golden State, and then Mark Jackson was coaching there and really got them going. And then Steve Kerr came in. And as Kerr said when he was in town last week, you know, he didn't take over a damaged team. You know, he just had a team that needed some, he called it tweaking or some adjustments, and then and the same thing here. I mean, if you, I know Kenny Atkinson was thrilled to get this job, not just because it's an NBA job. In fact, he had turned down a chance to go to Charlotte a couple of years ago. But when you laid out the team and everybody's like, Donovan's 28 and the other guys are younger, you know, this thing was ready to run and run fast if you could get the engine working right.
Well, there's no doubt, Terry, that they are playing with a confidence. And how could you blame them? They've gotten off to this great start. Everything they're doing is working. Everything Atkinson, every lever he's pulling. Yeah. He had a lineup the other night where he didn't have Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland on the floor, and they blossomed. That just wouldn't happen in the past. So how much of this is confidence? How much is it that he's got healthy Ty Jerome, healthy Wade? Caris LeVert's playing really good.
By the way, who ever thought you'd start a sentence when he got a healthy tie to Rome?
Right.
I mean, let's be fair. This is stuff that when he thinks when it's going well. It's not to knock Ty Jerome. I had to look him up. He actually is better than I thought he was. A couple of years ago, he averaged 10 points for for OKC. He's had a history of injuries, not just here, but he had an ankle before. He had groin surgery. It's kind of like that's sidetracked him. But you're right. I mean, I was talking with Kenny the other day. He was said, I mean, they're hot. They're shooting 52% from the field in the NBA. Who does that? It's just been incredible. I'm not diminishing it at all. I'm a basketball purist. I love the ball movement. I love how the fact that Darius Garland really did work in the offseason on how to play off the ball some and find openings, you know, whether it's not just stand in the corner but go off to the wing, you know, move from side to side. And then Garland, to me, has been the biggest revelation, the way he's been finishing these quarters, his health, not just being healthier but stronger, and the confidence. Because remember last year, some of those playoff games where Donovan Mitchell is like grabbing him and preaching, trying to preach some confidence into him. And by finally, I just think in some ways, you know, Donovan coming back, it just sparked the whole thing here. That's what light the fuse to cause this quick and early season explosion.
Boy, that's see. I was going to take it to Garland, but you just mentioned Donovan Mitchell. Do you think that there was a cloud kind of over their head? What's he going to do? What's he not going to do?
And then because
remember Terry, he had said I think he might have told some people like, "Hey, I'm going to be back. Don't worry about it." But did they really think until pen to paper? Do you think that that was maybe a question? They may have felt that they were under too much pressure to retain him with them.
Sure. Well, just the feeling of, he's saying one thing, but everybody else says he's going to New York.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, although I'm sure at one point the Cavs sat down with his agent and said, pretend you're us. How can you even work a trade with New York on the salary cap? You know, what are they going to do, trade us Jalen Brunson? You know, it didn't work. And then meantime, I thought Donovan did a really nice job of how he handled things because, like you said, he was positive about Cleveland. It would have been stupid for him economically to sign an extension after his first year here. In fact, any agent recommending that should have been fired. And then and when the time came, the moment he had a chance to do it, he did it. But you're correct. You know, when you're watching ESPN or whatever it is, and New York, you think, well, you know, then it plays into all the insecurities people have about Cleveland.
Terry Pluto with us right now on the hotline. So they're 12-0, and the Eastern Conference looks abysmal right now.
Is it
now Eastern Conference finals or bust?
I don't know. We'll see what after another. You haven't even played 20 games yet. By the way, you're starting to want to look at some of these teams that shot out of the gate and won a bunch of games early.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Then what happened? But to me, the big thing is, in much the same way when Stephen Vogt came in with the Guardians last year and they went 8-2 in their first 10 games, it set a tone that the new guy has a clue what he's doing because Vogt made some changes too. So this guy comes in here and they start out winning all these games and he's playing the bench and the bench is producing. And they go, it gives the players confidence in the coach and the coach confidence in himself. I mean, he worked a lot on trying to develop relationships in the off season, but you got to see it, you know, on the court. And a lot of times, maybe teams just go through stages. By the way, look what JB's doing with Detroit. He's doing a nice job with Detroit. He's pulling them right out of the you know, the NBA abyss. And I think they got 5 wins already, and they only won 14 or 12, whatever it was last year. So sometimes it's different coaches for different times, but all I know this, I'm a basketball purist. I love what I'm watching.
Well, Terry Peluto joining us here in the from Cleveland Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, you're being very pragmatic about it, which I appreciate and respect. But boy, Terry, I haven't been this excited about a Cavs team since LeBron came back, and maybe some of that honestly is how disappointed I am in the football team right now.
Sure.
And so I'm so excited, but man, like a few years ago, what was it? Before they got Donovan, they started off real hot, and there were people asking, "Well, can this be sustainable?" I'm like, "Eh." I'm going, man, this is, if they stay healthy, which is, I think, for all 30 teams, boy, this is a team that can definitely make a run at Boston and possibly at the finals, but it's still November 13th.
Yeah, and it's fun to be excited about something that's real. Why not?
Yeah.
And also, I think over the course of the regular season, they are set up to, you know, if Garland misses 20 games or somebody else like that, I think they're good enough to win enough games and position themselves for the playoffs very, very well. But you're correct, they have that. And I do like, Kyle, this is a big difference to me, that he has, Kenny's had the confidence to work with those guys on the bench more than JB did. And I think in some ways hanging over JB, like you talked about Donovan leaving, was hanging over JB. I got to win enough games, make sure Donovan wants to stay, make sure I keep my job, all that kind of stuff. And remember, he had Mobley and Garland were out for like 20 games themselves at the same time. So that was a – JB had a tough job last year. And that's why I don't want to diminish that, because we've seen so many coaches come through here and fail miserably and be totally over their head. But nonetheless, Kenny does have a different view of the game, and he's got the players to run this stuff. And that's why I push for him. I could show you the column when they were there to bring him in, because I like the kind of offensive stuff he ran in Brooklyn. I know it didn't, you know, I think he made the playoffs once there, but he had a bunch of kids he was trying to teach to play this way, and he had guts enough to do it.
Well, that's when they brought in guys who were, they were goofy.
At the end, they undercut what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, they brought in, I forgot, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, if they brought in those players now, it might be a little bit different, but they were goofy at that time. Terry Peluto joining us on the show. Darius Garland, you mentioned he got stronger. What did he do during this offseason to get stronger?
Maybe 8. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but remember, his jaw was wired shut for a month or something. He probably finally began to enjoy food, and then also, we forget how young these guys are. Your middle 20s, your body is still developing. Yeah. And, you know, he played 1 year of college. His last game was against Kent State. He played basically 4.5 games in college and then had a knee problem that led to surgery. And then he had a second knee surgery when he was younger. Then he was healthy, made an all-star team. And then last year, he just got – remember, he kept getting hit not just at the mouth, he kept getting in the face and things like that. So he is also – with him and Donovan now, I like the fact that it doesn't seem like they're trading off and taking turns, you know, kind of bringing the ball up. It seems to just be flowing better, and that's helping him. And it's really helping Donovan, where Donovan doesn't need to go out and score 28 or 30 all the time.
And Terry, just finally, before we get to quick Browns discussion, Evan Mobley, his numbers are actually kind of down in every category, but doesn't it look different to you? Doesn't it look like such a much more confident player?
Yeah, he's playing. First of all, he's playing fewer minutes. He's learning what he can do with himself. I remember when he was drafted, an NBA person said, you know, he's got a chance to be Chris Bosh or whatever. I'm like, well, let's see about that. But I'm seeing some of Bosch's game in him now, that the drives to the basket, you know, how long he is. He's learned to shoot with both hands. His outside shot is coming along. I don't want him taking 7 threes a game. This is not Lauri Markkanen. It's a different style player, and I think that Kenny has really set this up. I keep encouraging him, you know, go to the rim, take it. From the day one here, this is who you unlock, you know, Evan Mobley. Mobley is so well coached and so well schooled by his father going back. Because remember, from the moment he walked in to the NBA, he was a good defensive player in about his first season. By the end of it, he was elite, and he's unselfish. And, boy, you really like that. And the whole team, you know, signed their extensions. Mobley signed an extension, and Garland was already under a long-term contract. Donovan did, and so did Allen. So those guys are all locked up. By the way, I think the guys that are the most underrated is Caris LeVert. He's played tremendous. By the way, trivia question, who's second on the team in assist?
I'm going to hem and haw and not know. Go ahead.
I gave you the answer.
Is it Caris?
How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Been decent defensively, too.
Yeah, everything. Yes, I said, and he's shooting better than he ever. I mean, he's shooting out of his mind right now. I mean, it's like 50-some percent on threes or something, but. Yeah, this is so upbeat, and you mentioned the Browns fans, and it's like I keep getting emails about the Browns, and all the Chaos won't even lose a game.
Well, that's obvious because we're trying to figure out a way to fix it. If it were up to you, would Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski either or neither, would they be returning for 2026 as of right now?
My I would be leaning in that direction, and Watson would be gone. I would quietly release him next spring or something like that, whenever it would be made sense on how you do the NFL thing. Because I just think that he has put a real – that cloud on that franchise has just become almost like this thunderstorm that won't stop. And it's just messed so much up. And – so I would give them another whirl. I don't know. Don't ask me what they're going to do. I have no idea. None. But the end, I wrote over the weekend, and you said, I laid out exactly why. Watson's an ownership decision. Ultimately, that rests with them. And because you don't bring in a guy with all that economic baggage, all the off-field baggage, all the kind of baggage that's going to fracture your fan base just because football people want him. You've got to be, as an owner, more thoughtful on the bigger picture. And so basically, if I'm the Haslam, I will say, look, you know, great, it didn't work, but you did get me to the playoffs twice, and I'm going to give you another whirl at it without having any discussion on, well, what about Deshaun? Should we fire 5 more people to help Deshaun? Should we, you know, all that garbage. Stop. Give them a fresh start. That would be my view.
He will be speaking at the Willoughby Hills Library Tuesday, December 3rd, 6:30 p.m. It's a free event. Go see Terry, Willoughby Hills Library, Tuesday, December 3rd. Again, 6:30 p.m. Terry Pluto, the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Terry, thank you so much for the time.
Take care, guys. Appreciate it.
You too. Thank you very much. Terry Pluto on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That's two basketball guests in 3 days. Bill Ryder, Terry Pluto, who have compared Kenny Atkinson to Steve Kerr, saying they're our version of Steve Kerr. FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so, Kenny, I told you that had a pretty good trip in Florida. It was amazing. A place I never thought I would go. Have you ever heard of Longboat Key?
No.
We were at a wedding.
Not until you told me.
It was on another level.
Then I looked up the pictures after Hurricane Milton.
There was still a lot to be cleaned up.
Oh, boy.
A lot of empty storefronts, flooding everywhere. I went jogging down one of the streets, and every house, 100% of the houses, they were all $5 million, $10 million, $12 million homes. Every single one of them getting worked on.
Real quick, non sequitur.
Like, where are those people living there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, that's something I could talk about with my wife, right? I could talk to her about, man, that sucks. Do you see how beautiful that house is? They're getting worked on. Wonder where those people are going. All right, that conversation takes you somewhere. Then, hey, we just had an election. A lot of people wanting to talk politics following that election. And we had some good banter at the welcoming party. And then it was on the way home, my wife said, hey, we're done with politics for the trip. That's it. She's like, I just had to endure how much of your discussion. She hears me and you talking politics.
Yeah.
She hears me and her dad talking politics, where that's more like crossfire. A lot of vehement discussions. I never forced her, to think a certain way. Always, you know, she picked my brain. I said, well, here's what the Democrats say. Here's what the Republicans say. You can make your own choice.
Yeah.
And that was her. She could go on her own way. She said, we're done with politics. And it got me thinking, what else do I have to talk to my wife about? If I can't talk about politics and she doesn't care about sports,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't really want to just gossip about other people 24/7, what's left? What's left to talk to your wife about?
You can enjoy shows together.
And we do.
You can enjoy each other's company.
And we do. We get a little snippet every night. And truth be told, I don't really feel like talking about our kids' nap schedule and eating schedule. I don't care about that.
No.
Every day. There's only so much of that I could take. What's left? What do you guys talk to your wives about? If you take out sports, politics, gossip, and kids, what is left?
What do we talk about? What do you talk to your wife about? I don't remember what I talked to my wife about yesterday. I got home, I ate, went to sleep. Told you, I wasn't feeling that good.
Did you talk about what's for dinner? That's one thing.
That's as soon as I leave here today, when I get in the car, that call will be placed.
Okay.
And I will go, I'll say my, you know, I love you. What are we doing for dinner? And she'll go, this is setting out on, you know, defrosting. Can you either do this to prep it, or the crock pot's already ready to go, or... I have no clue.
Oh, that's nice.
What are your thoughts? That's it. And then in my situation, it's bon voyage at 5 o'clock as I go to whatever practice we're going to or whatever and get back. And
see, Wednesday's a set schedule because there's certain days of the week that set schedule stuff. So today's Eli goes pizza delivery. And he does that. And I go, okay, pizza delivery. Wednesday's pizza. So there will be pizza today. But everything else, I like, what's for din? And then she says that. And then that's about it. And then there's discussions about her day. And that's it. Like, it feels like Kramer from Seinfeld. That's about it. And I put my phone down, and I act interested about what's going on. And sometimes I am acting interested, and sometimes I'm genuinely interested. Most of the time I'm genuinely interested. But there are some times I'm just nodding and going, that's great, or that sucks.
The thing that you're missing out on that's different from because my children are older, we have the ability to go places together that might be for the children, but we can always do the little fun games when we're at dinner of what is this couple talking about? How did this couple meet? All that. You can do that at a sporting event. You can do that when, you know, those are the type of things that we do. You right now, you're trapped.
It's not talking trash. Yeah, it's not talking trash, though. It's not gossiping. It's observation, well, it's daily observation.
I will say, I mean, it's a lot of we're both on Instagram seeing what other people are doing, and it's, I can't believe she posted that. I can't believe he posted that.
Yeah.
Why are they posting that? Okay, that conversation is going to get very negative very fast. Mm-hmm. That's not an uplifting, positive conversation.
Well, there's also a lot of what would I, like, we kind of examine each other on that. Like, what would I do in that situation? Like, if somebody up the road who has a teenage son and the teenage son did something that it was like, whoa, it's like, what am I going to do in that spot or something like that? That's conversation that we have.
This is also where you need to get a good home renovation going in that you do yourself.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing a bathroom right now. We're doing a bathroom right now.
You're going to have to show me how to do that stuff.
We spent 5 hours on, you want three drawers or four drawers in the vanity?
I think that turns into a fight.
Oh, no.
At the Lima household.
Well, you got to get over it.
Well, you can get over it, and I can get over it. I don't know if they're going to get over it. They are two competitive people over there.
And I was wondering, what could that possibly be?
I think part of the issue is, we are home. Like, I will get home from work. She works from home.
Yep.
I'll have the kids.
Yep.
And we're just stuck. We're just stuck together. Now Mason's finally standing up, but he can't get down. So now I have to be next to him 24/7.
Yeah.
And it is the last few days I've sat here and I've
said, your complaints.
That's it. I can't even look at my phone.
I hope you enjoyed those 20s and 30s when you were going out while the rest of us were at home rearing children.
Kenny, I was on
now you're in it.
I was on the phone yesterday with Kenny, and she came in, my wife came in like a hurricane about all these things that have to be done. I'm sitting there with Izzy's yelling about wanting to put the damn dress on, the damn Elsa dress on. All she wants to do at 6 a.m. is put the Elsa dress on that we got her. Worst mistake ever getting that. That should have been a Christmas gift, but we caved because she was crying that other girls had it. So we got it for her. That's a disaster. And then Mason, I have to literally be sitting or standing next to Mason now the entirety of him being there. So there is not. I tried to do a phone call with you yesterday.
It was impossible.
And it was impossible. It was impossible.
I will tell you, on Monday, I was doing the Christmas decorations, and I called Lima, and I immediately got off the phone because he was eating on the phone, and I couldn't take it, and then I felt bad because I'm like, well, this is the only time he has to really eat.
I was going to tell you, that was literally the only time.
Feel bad. I'm sorry, friend.
I should have muted it. I should have figured out, like, mute when I'm not talking.
Yeah, you should have.
This is brutal, and I know everyone's been through it. Everybody is listening, going, "Oh, it's your turn."
Welcome to it.
But holy cow!
I'm telling you, once he
it sucked all joy out of life.
Once he can start bopping around and really gives you some fun, then you'll be past it. Because she's older, so she's smarter, so she'll be able to look after him.
You're gonna enjoy your twilight years when he's 15.
Yeah, I'll be 70.
You will enjoy it. What are guys like Owen and I going to do when our kids get older? And then it's like, well, that's it. You're done with kids. Now you have to reconnect because you've been so busy for 20 years. That's where a lot of people get divorces, bud.
But that's
because people are living older than they ever. People are living to older ages than they ever have. So you used to stay married forever because it's like, well, we got one step left, and that's to the grave. Now people are getting divorces
at that
point.
Child support's done.
That's done. That's what people think. Because I cannot tell you how many of my friends or parents are like, yeah, we're done. It's like, what? Right after they all went out of the house, all right, that's enough of this. See you at the weddings. And they move on. So that's something you'll get to observe because it's bound to happen with one of us. Not my marriage.
Why
my marriage
looking
is
at me?
Strong.
He's perfected. Owen's perfected this.
I'm good at this.
How many marriages have you been on different continents?
Enough to know better.
Yeah. That's a good point. I did work with somebody who famously said Liz was my test marriage.
I've always said the best thing for my marriage is my first marriage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.